The tree of life my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green. What a paradox the cross is. Two warring mysteries united in one place. On the one hand, the cross shows forth the mystery of suffering and death. But the cross also proclaims the opposing and powerful mystery, that God causes life to spring up in the midst of suffering and death. The Church proclaims both poles of this paradox in the Collect for Tuesday of Holy Week. In that collect, we pray, O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. You and I, each of us in our own ways, know these mysteries in our own lives, and not just in this time of pandemic. Sometimes, perhaps too often, the pole of suffering and death seems the more vivid, and the struggle for victory by the life that overpowers death can seem hard to trust and hard to believe in. When we are caught in the crucible of this struggle, our faith can feel shaky, or can even for a time disappear. I'm thinking back in my own life to a time of struggle between life and death in the Holy Week of my sophomore year in college. It was the time of the Vietnam War. A Grace cousin of mine had died in that strife, and the counts of the war dead were on the nightly news, not unlike our present-day counts of the mounting deaths from COVID-19. My own birthday had been drawn number 2 in the draft lottery. And though I had been raised in faith, my faith had virtually disappeared under the weight of the nagging questions that so many of us ask. If God is good and powerful, then what am I to make of all the suffering and death that surrounds me? Where is God in the midst of this? Though my faith was shaky to the point of collapse, I was still singing in the choir of the Episcopal Church in Williamstown, and a professor of mathematics was the organist and choirmaster. After one choir rehearsal in Holy Week, I poured out my heart and soul to Victor with no little anger and a feeling of hopelessness. And rather than trying to urge me back towards faith and trust in God, he simply took me from the choir room back into the church and invited me to kneel at the altar rail. He knelt next to me and gently said, "Look up. Look at that stained glass window in the center of the apse. What do you notice?" With something less than grace, I said, "Jesus on the cross, of course." With patience at my graceless sophomoric reply, he simply said, "Look again." I looked, and I realized with a shock that the cross was green, and there were tiny buds growing on it as if it were a tree ready to burst into leaf in springtime. "I am the vine, you are the branches," said Jesus. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These wise words of Jesus came flooding back into my memory, and I wondered, perhaps for the first time in my life, maybe Jesus doesn't take away evil and suffering and death. Maybe he willingly comes to dwell in it with us, sharing our burdens and so lightening them, and offering us life, his life, when evil and suffering and death threaten to overwhelm us. The tree of life my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green. And so this past week I've been thinking a lot about trees and branches as we prepared for this Palm Sunday service. One morning, as I was walking the dogs in our neighborhood park, I found a large broken branch of cedar on the ground. Here it is, right behind me. Cruelly broken off by a force of nature or by heartless and unheeding human hands, I will never know. But there it was this week, lying on the ground, broken, yet still beautiful. In this week when we are all called to think about branches, branches of palm and leafy branches from the fields that Jesus' followers used to greet him and express their joy that finally, finally, a leader had come among them who was guided by compassion and courage, not avarice, hunger for power and fear. A king who, as one of the three kings, King Melchior, says in the Christmas opera, A Mall and the Night Visitors, a king, this Jesus, who builds his kingdom on love alone. This is the kind of king we greet with our branches and with our joy this Palm Sunday. We have waited all our lives, yearning for a leader like this, all our lives. Someone who will build his kingdom on love alone. But we painfully learned earlier in our service today that if you are willing to build your kingdom on love alone, it will be costly. There will be no armies to defend you. There will be no lawyers to stand up for you in court. There will be no utterly loyal followers who totally get you and your way of love, who will stand by you right to the end. No, it is costly to build your kingdom on love alone. For there is an essential defenselessness about love, a vulnerability that for the very sake of love cannot strike out at the ones who come against that love. For me, that vulnerable but beautiful kind of loving is so poignantly pictured for me in this broken branch. This broken, beautiful branch is Jesus, the beautiful, vulnerable, and loving one. Broken and yet still green. Broken and yet still covered with nearly countless seed pods. Dying and yet full of life, that central paradox of the cross. This one, this Jesus, is for us the tree of life. He stretches out his loving limbs and embraces, calls to himself all the broken branches of the world. And so I think of just some of the broken branches that Jesus, the tree of life, has embraced and held fast in just these past months. Those who have died of COVID-19, and those whose names are known to many of us in the parish, but unknown to others, but all of whom are known and dearly loved by Jesus, our tree of life. Here at Trinity, I think of Caroline and Steve and Monica and Patricia and Joanne. I think of Amo and Janet and Oscar. All these recently fallen branches gathered so that they will not be lost, gathered into the loving arms of this, our tree of life. No branch lost, grafted back into him, just as he shared their dying with them as they took their last breath and fell into the earth. So he begins even now to share his life with them. Because this is what it is to be the tree of life, who builds his kingdom, his forest, on love alone. Jesus, tree of life, we pray you, continue to graft back into your everlasting life these beloved fallen branches. The tree of life my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green. The powerful nor'easter that just passed through has provided us the perfect image of our fear, quaking branches. Jesus is with us, his quaking, fearful, beloved branches, and knows that we are feeling this fear, because if, as we have heard just today, he also was fearful and quaking in the Garden of Gethsemane, grieved and agitated, the Word of God says. He too, like all of us who are agitated and afraid, he too feared death and wanted that fearful cup to pass him by. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He knows our fears and is willing to share them. For did he not say, yet not what I want, but what you want? God in Jesus wants us to know that we are never alone in our fear. When we quake and are tossed by the fearful winds of life, whether caused by this virus or the myriad other fearful slings and arrows that flesh and blood is heir to, Jesus is there with us. He did not walk away from those fears, his own and ours, in Gethsemane, but embraced them, fearful though that surely was for him. And so we never need be ashamed of our fears or feel alone in them. They have been shared by the Son of God, who was not ashamed to admit his fear and face it for his own sake and for ours. Jesus, Tree of Life, we pray you to bear the fears of all of us so that we will know ourselves never alone when our limbs quake.
The tree of life my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green.
But it is not just loss and death or fear that this kingly tree of life shares. Not just loss and death. We have seen him stand bravely in the face of certain death and remain standing. He is the courageous tree of life. Despite his fear in Gethsemane, he stands with courage before religious and political powers as they interrogate him. He finds courage to stand there, not just for himself in that moment, but for all of us, his branches, down through the ages and into our own time. He shares his courage with any and all of us who must stand courageously in any fearful time. Doctors and nurses, caregivers of all kinds, those who provide essential services to us so that we can live, grocery store workers and short-order cooks who prepare takeout for us, those who work in power stations, EMTs who save lives in ambulances, firefighters who answer calls even to infected households. Like Jesus, by their courage, they make sure that life continues to flow in us and to us. They can stand courageously because this Jesus, who was courageous in the face of death, shares his courage with them, stretching out his courageous arms as if they were branches to shelter these caring ones from fear, to pour into their limbs his courage and his strength. Jesus, Tree of Life, we pray you to continue to fill all with your courage so that we might share your life flow with one another.
The tree of life my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green.
This Jesus, our tree of life, is also our tree of wisdom, the Logos, God's science, like a tree planted by a stream of water. The Christ was with the Creator from before the beginning. The wise Christ helped shape the creation and poured his own mind, his humble wisdom into this world, into Jesus, the wise healer, who stooped to use mud and spittle to heal the blind, who willingly risked his own health to touch and heal the leper. This wise one, this wise tree of life, is even now pouring out, as if from branches that cast seed pods into the world, this one is pouring out wisdom on those who seek ways to treat this deadly virus and to treat those who, through research with the live virus, risk their own lives for us, to find a vaccine, a prevention, so that many may live and not die. Jesus, O wise one, from your arms stretched out on the tree of life, pour out your wisdom on them and us, we pray.
The tree of life my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green.
We come to you, O Savior, hanging on that horrible tree that is nonetheless for us the tree of life. We bring to you all that we are and all that we have. Our grief over the broken branches that have fallen to the ground, trusting that you are the seed pod for them of new life. You are the tree of life. We bring our fears and agitations, solaced by the knowledge that you have shared every fear, every agitation that we now know or ever will know. We trust you to hold these fears in your outstretched arms, your limbs of love on the cross. You are the tree of life. We bring to you our gratitude for the courage you share with all who are keeping us alive in this time, and for the courage you desire to share with us. Strengthen us by the strong arms of love, your strong arms of love, stretched wide on the cross, wide enough to welcome all of us into your loving and courage-sharing embrace. You are the tree of life. We bring to you our hopes, O wisdom from on high, our hopes for wisdom to prevail among us as we seek to discipline ourselves to keep social distance and save not only ourselves but others from infection. Our hopes for leaders who will not sacrifice the weak as the corrupt and fearful leaders of your own day sacrificed you. Our hopes for those who seek better ways of treating this virus, and our hopes for those who make ventilators and emergency makeshift hospitals and combination therapies to save lives. Our hopes for those who toil day and night to develop a vaccine to save lives. We pray your wisdom for all these. You are the tree of life. And so we ask that you stretch out your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross, and so turn it for us and all the world into the tree of life. We know that you have knit the root systems of trees in our world into forests of sharing and caring, each tree doing what is good not for itself alone, but for the whole forest. Teach us to be trees in that kind of forest, a forest that is a kingdom built on love alone. And may you ever be the tree of life at the center of our forest, O beloved and lovely tree of life.
The tree of life my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green.